Winston Churchill once remarked that democracy is the worst form of government until you consider the alternative. Well, democracy is messy and difficult, and it's maddeningly slow because it depends upon the will of the people. It's not dictated by one person. But who would like to live under a dictatorship? I know I wouldn't. Some elections make it clear that democracy doesn't work in the way we want it always. Sometimes the wrong candidates win, and sometimes the right candidates lose. Isn't that the case? Sometimes good leaders lose an election only to be replaced by somebody who doesn't do as good a job. Well, the candidates that I support, I can't talk about them either, don't always win. What do you do then? Well, you generally learn more from defeat than you learn from victory. In fact, very often when there are defeats, new doors are open. And even in losing, because of losing, Churchill's statement proves that democracy, even a flawed democracy such as they all are, beats the alternatives. It's said that God has put together three institutions in our life: the home, the church, and the state. In doing so, he gave us explicit instructions on how all three are to operate, hasn't he? He says, talks to us about the home, of course, how the home should work, the church, here's the church, and now about the state. We're going to talk about that this morning. We don't know too much about that, but the 13th chapter of Romans talks specifically about politics and government and how Christians should relate to human government. It answers some questions, but it raises a lot of them, and some of them I can't get into today because we'd be here until tomorrow if we discuss them all. For example, what does it mean to be a Christian living under a pagan government? Is violent revolution ever justified? What about capital punishment? Is it wrong to pay taxes to an unjust government, in your opinion? What about picketing abortion clinics? Under what circumstances should Christians disobey the law? Is it wrong to refuse to pay taxes to protest against something that you don't agree with? Should Christians serve in the armed forces because that requires some killing? How do you respond to those who are corrupt? How do you deal with that? How far should we go to express Christian concerns? They're all important questions, and there's no simple answers to them, are there? And I can't answer every possible question, but I'm going to lay down a broad brush consideration of the state, of government, and God. The source of government. Well, the source of government comes from God. Human government is established by God. Listen to verse 1. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except for God, and those who have existed have been instituted by God. These are the words of St. Paul from God when he was in Rome. The word authority is very broad. The Greek word is exousia, which means a person has a right to do something, has the power to do something. Seen in another light, authority is a person who has the right to make decisions. For example, as all the guys know, we are the head of a household. Why are you laughing? In name only, Daryl says, and Don laughs, and everybody else laughs. Well, need I say more? The head of the household is the head of the household. The passage of Paul's thinking about is about human governments, kings, queens, emperors, magistrates, presidents, dictators, and potentates of every variety. We even have a magistrate right here, sitting here in a yellow shirt, right, don't we? We have a magistrate. And he, Judge Tom DiMarino, has been put there by God because that is what God does. He puts people in positions throughout government. Well, Paul is not thinking about one form of human government, such as democracy. He's talking about all kinds, oligarchies, monarch, socialism, communism, dictatorships, God uses all those for his purposes. It's hard to understand, really. Sometimes it's very difficult to understand what God is doing. He's not talking about just American democracy. He's talking about all human government. It comes from the hand of God to do his will. Well, when Paul wrote these words in the book of Romans, he was in Rome, and the emperor was Nero, a very wicked person. He hated Christians, and very often he would take Christians and cover them with wax, nail them to a pole, and set them on fire. He ordered Rome to be set on fire, and he flamed the Christians for doing that. Ancient Rome was wicked and was pagan, far beyond what you could imagine, and the Christian gospel was spreading quickly in Rome. Abortion flourished. Homosexuality was accepted as normal. The masses worshiped Caesar as Lord God. Sorcery, black magic abounded. Yet, Paul said all authority comes from God. Even within that milieu, that situation, all authority comes from God. He gave an explicit directive. He said, be subject to the governing authorities. No ifs, ands, or buts. We are to be subject to the governing authorities. It's a Christian word. It's a word that means submit. It's used over 50 times in the New Testament. We are to submit ourselves to government. Well, let's share a simple definition that may help you. Submission means believing that God is able to accomplish his will in my life through those he has placed in authority over me. That's kind of difficult to understand. How can that happen? What do you do then if you can, what can you do? You can rebel, you can fight back, you can suffer in silence, you can complain to others, you can get angry and get even, you can appeal to authority, you can take action. The most important thing is the attitude of your heart within this situation. God stands behind the ballot box and the armies that march and the navies that sail. He is the unseen hand at work in the nations of the world. He works in every nation of the world. And how it's going to pan out, we don't know. How it's going to work with ISIS, with the Islam terror, the extremists. The extremists in all areas. How is that going to work out? God stands behind this. That means that George Washington came to power by the hand of God. So did Abraham Lincoln, Teddy Roosevelt, Harry Truman, Dwight Eisenhower. God installed John Kennedy in the White House and replaced him with Lyndon Johnson, Richard Nixon, Gerald Ford, Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan, George Bush, Bill Clinton, and George W. Bush, and now Barack Obama. Who knows who's next? God knows. God only knows. Well, in these politically charged times, it remembers that when Jesus comes back, he will not be riding on a donkey or an elephant, will he? When Jesus comes back, he will not be Republican or Democrat. He's got the only vote that counts. Well, the second thing is to rebel brings punishment, Paul says. He says, therefore, whoever resists the authority resists what God has appointed. And those who resist will incur judgment. That means we're supposed to obey our government. In other words, if you're speeding, and you get a ticket, well, you got your ticket because you were rebelling against authority. Paul introduced the ministry of government. The word sounds odd to us. Twice he says that rulers are servants of God. They are controlled by God. All human authorities serve the purposes of God on earth. Think about that a minute. So the IRS agent who audits your return is an agent of God. Barack Obama is God's servant. Doesn't always show that way. And so is Vladimir Putin of Russia. It's true for every human leader. Whether they know it or not, they are doing God's will. Well, this is the basis for treating our leaders with respect. We should show honor and respect to our leaders and understand that they are appointed by God. Well, there are times when a Christian and I must speak out against what's going on. Isn't that true? How do we do that? How do we do that if we don't agree with what's going on? I must not treat that lightly. You know, the modern technology allows us to make foolish things happen very quickly, like emails and Facebook and so on. Be careful what you write when you're angry. Be careful what you write when you're upset. Be careful when that you might text something to somebody if you feel cheated. Take a deep breath. Think about it before you do anything. I don't take a deep breath. I pass it by Betty first. According to Romans 13, all human authorities exist to do two things. The human authorities to punish the wicked, for it says in verse 3, "For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval." That's following the law, Paul is saying, following the law, no matter even if it's Nero or who it was, follow the law. That's why we have police officers and FBI agents. We have a retired FBI agent in the back there. Hi, Dan. He worked for God, too, because he was working for the government as well. How many other people here have worked for the government? There we go. We have a lot of people that have been part of the political situation. Well, we have FBI agents and TSA officers. Remember prior to 9/11 how easy it was to get on a plane? But it's very interesting that, did you read that 67 out of 70 attempts to bring a contraband on a plane went through TSA without being challenged? And these were just auditors that had a fake gun, metal gun strapped to their back. So that's kind of scary. So we need to get these things improved. And how do you get these things improved? You do it by communicating with your congresspeople and saying, we need to get this fixed. Secondly, Paul says to reward the righteous. The human authorities do two things. One is to punish the wicked. Number two is to reward the righteous. In verse 4 it says, "For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is a servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath to the wrongdoing." Do right. If you do right, you have nothing to fear. It's like telling the truth. If you tell a lie, it's hard to remember your lie. But if you tell the truth, that's real easy to remember, isn't it? Paul himself experienced the cruelty of the Roman government because he himself was beheaded in Rome by the agents of Nero. God says that the state does have the right to take life through war, through capital punishment, but only if it's justified. The third section is, and this ends the passage, about Christians' duty to support the government. We support the government in verse 5, "Therefore one must be in subjection not only to avoid God's wrath, but for the sake of conscience." Lawbreakers are brought to justice. That's why we have laws to keep us, our society, sane. We must never join the rank with our anarchists that say, bring down all the government. We don't need government. Even bad government is better than no government at all. To be more specific, Christians should be known as law-abiding citizens. We shouldn't go to abortion clinics and kill people like some Christians have said they're going to do or have done. How we support the government? In verse 6 it says, "For the same reasons you pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay all that is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to who revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed." These are ministers of God in government. That's so important. As such, they deserve four things from us, taxes, revenue, respect, and honor, even if you don't agree with them. Rome, for example, in those days, you think we're heavily taxed. Well, what do you listen to the taxes that Rome had? An income tax. Well, we have that. A head tax. A poll tax. A road tax. A wagon tax. A crop tax. An import tax. An export tax. A harbor tax. And a bridge tax. Well, think about that. I think we have most of those, don't we? Like E-470 is kind of like our bridge tax. And we pay taxes on income and outgo on exports and imports. But the Caesars in those days used all the money for themselves, and they built roads, of course, but they lived a very sumptuous life. Paying taxes is a Christian duty, not fun. Tax evasion is not only a crime, but because God has instituted government, avoiding taxes is also a sin. We don't like to send money to Washington when we see how taxes are used. We don't like the way some taxes are used, but the way you have to complain about that is to actually do and complain about it. Well, to wrap up this message, there are four critical questions. Number one, how far can Christians go in expressing opposition to an unjust government? How far can you go? Well, the answer is clear. You can go as far as the law allows and no further. You can picket, you can collect petitions, you can write letters, you can call a talk show host and sound off, you can take a video and post it on YouTube, you can vote and encourage others to vote like you, you could call your congressman. There are a lot of ways that you can express your opinion. And you can run for office. Well, maybe not at this age, but we can run for office. Submission doesn't require to keep your mouth shut about injustice. The issue of the heart is so important, though, because that's the most important thing, the issue of the heart. We shouldn't speak with a burning anger, but we should speak strongly. Secondly, what should Christians do if government orders them to do something that conflicts with their faith? We must obey God rather than man. In Acts 5:29, we must obey God rather than man. And we must be willing to suffer the consequences if we have to fight against God. A Christian must disobey his government when the government asks him to violate a commandment of God, commit an immoral or an unethical act, or go against Christian conscience. And everybody has a different Christian conscience. So if you read in Daniel 3, you'll hear about the three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They spoke respectfully to the king, even though they disobeyed his direct orders. They disobey with a submissive heart. That's why God blessed them in spite of their disobedience. And what about disobedience, civil disobedience? We think about the race riots in the 60s. We remember in the Bible about the Hebrew midwives refusing to kill the babies in Exodus 1. We hear about Rahab the harlot hiding the Israeli spies in Jericho. Whenever laws are enacted which can contradict God's laws, civil disobedience becomes Christian duty, but not violence. Not violence. Believers who choose disobedience can also claim some special protection from God, because God will be with you when you do that. So what does it mean to be a good Christian and also a good citizen? Very simply, it means that you have dual citizenship. You have citizenship here, and we have citizenship in heaven. As Christians, God calls us to become the salt of the earth and the light of the world. That's our duty. Salt makes food taste better. Our life makes lives better for us, for those who are around us. Our light that shines Christ to others is so important to make others live better. We are called to be godly rebels, aren't we? Rebels in a sense that is not violent. Many times our Christian faith will stand against the status quo. It seems as though in the years coming that we're going to have to take that stance, aren't we? Because there are so many things that are coming down the pike that are against our Christian principles. So many things. So many things. I pray for leaders that will obey. Micah 6:8 says, "Act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly before God." These are the only times we are given. Despair is never an option for Christians, because you have God to help you. Let us reaffirm our belief that God reigns over all the nations of the earth. He is the Lord God Almighty. To him, all nations are but a drop in the bucket, because he rules the universe. But God is in control. The one enthroned in heaven laughs at those who rage against him. No matter who controls the House or the Senate or the White House, God is still in control, still on the throne. We don't know what's going to happen in 2016, do we, in the elections? But whatever happens, God will control. Keep that in mind for days to come, the days to come, that you have to work in and with God's reign. He knows what he's doing, and he's doing it. And that's our political stance for today. Amen.